These are the keys to the key games of the weekend. Brought to you by Larceny Bourbon on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're going to begin here with a Saturday game. We are back to Saturday football in the NFL. Two games tomorrow. The nightcap, I think, is a really good game. Chargers at the Chiefs. I'm going to go with, and LA, by the way, has won four games in a row. They're on a roll. They are aiming to snap a big losing streak against Kansas City. I think Phillip Rivers hanging on to the football is going to be key. I don't usually like to go with turnovers in this segment because they're so obvious if you don't turn the ball over. But there's a specific reason. Phillip Rivers historically has had a higher turnover rate than you want for a quarterback of his ilk. He had three interceptions in their meeting earlier in this season. He's got to keep the ball. And I think if he hangs onto the football, I think the Chargers should win tomorrow night. I give credit to Kansas City. They turn things around a bit with their win against Oakland. But this team, the Chargers, ain't Oakland. They are much better than Oakland right now. I just think that LA is a better football team at this stage in the season. And even though it's in Arrowhead, I think that LA is going
to
win.
No, I think they'll definitely win. If Kansas City has a chance to cover, it's going to have to come from a good performance by Kareem Hunt, not by one Alex Smith. I think one of those guys has the ability to bounce back to what he was early in the season. And you saw that out of Hunt last week, a bit of a resurgence. So I think he's capable of having a big game. Alex Smith is a shell of September Alex Smith, and I don't see how he's going to come back. But some of the adjustments that defenses have made to Alex Smith should help out Kareem Hunt.
Texans and Jaguars, noon on Sunday. For me, it's real simple. Pass protection. You do have the added advantage of TJ Yates' mobility, and he can move around a little bit. But again, look at these stats. In week one against Jacksonville, the Texans' offensive line allowed 10 sacks with 15 quarterback hits. And sometimes you play a team later in the season, they might have lost some guys. They haven't. It's the same dudes from week one. Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, Fowler, all those guys. And by the way, if you look at the injury report, you've got Jeff Allen, who has missed, I guess, it's Friday, so 2 days of practice with a groin injury.
Yeah.
So we could see Julian Davenport at left tackle. That would be...
If his shoulder's okay.
Yeah, if his shoulder's okay. For me, if the Texans have any chance in hell at competing in this game, they need to protect TJ Yates decently.
They need to protect him to an extreme degree. And that means you send fewer receivers out on routes, and then defensive backs are able to focus on DeAndre Hopkins even more. This is what I would say needs to happen, is that in that first game, there were times where the Jaguars were very cocky in leaving Boyer or Jalen Ramsey alone with no safety help over the top. Those guys played Hopkins very physically, and they were penalized for it. I think DeAndre has actually improved as a player in terms of his ability to draw penalties over the past several weeks.
But definitely the last 3 weeks.
He's gotten even savvier and craftier with how he uses his own hands. And he's not had nearly as many instances where it looks like it could be called a push-off. Those guys are going to have to adjust to that. And because of that, I think no matter how aggressive they are in coverage, maybe there's a chance for DeAndre to blow it open on a double move and take advantage of some of that otherwise riskier coverage they've used against him. It's not likely, but there's a chance. And when you're a 12-point underdog, you need something freakish to happen. I would love for it to be DeAndre Hopkins blowing it open.
This game could be a tough one to watch. It could be, depending on which Jaguar team shows up. We shall see.
Yeah.
Maybe, kind of, sort of. Just kidding. All right.
Well, I guess you know what the other key I would say is Jadeveon Clowney. Just flat out, Jadeveon Clowney making Blake Bortles look like Blake Bortles looked for 3.5 seasons. And now you've got all these people talking about Blake Bortles like all of a sudden he's going to be he's the reclamation project of the century. Make him look like we've seen Blake Bortles in the past, and that's up to Jadeveon Clowney.
Okay, here we go. Now, again, this is a really good weekend to watch football. In contrast to a lot of weekends in the NFL, we have a lot of good games. You've got Green Bay, Carolina. You've got the Rams-Seahawks game. But I think this game is the game of the weekend. If you watch one game, it is this one. It is the late game on CBS. It is Jim Nance. It is Tony Romo. It is at Heinz Field when the Patriots are at the Pittsburgh Steelers with basically the top seed in the AFC on the line. And for me, if the Steelers are going to do what they rarely do recently, which is win against the Patriots, I think they need to run the football pretty effectively, not dominantly, with Le'Veon Bell. If you look at the Patriots' losses over the course of this season, Carolina ran for 140. You know what the Chiefs did week one, that comeback on Thursday night? The Dolphins on Monday ran for $120. They were able to move the chains, have some big plays with Drake in the backfield. I think without Shazier, I worry about the Steeler defense, third downs, et cetera, against Brady, especially with Gronk back. I think they're going to need to control the football, time of possession. I'm going to say the Steelers running game.
I will say that Trey Flowers is the key to this team, because if you watched the game on Monday night, the Patriots front seven was banged up and bad, and they made Jay Cutler look like a younger version of Jay Cutler who never actually existed, but people dreamed about. That's what Jay Cutler looked like in that game, because the front seven was just awful. Trey Flowers leads their team in quarterback pressures. He's sixth in the NFL in quarterback hits this season, even if his sack total isn't really high. They need to be able to get pressure on Ben Roethlisberger without blitzing, because Roethlisberger has been worse under pressure, but not when that pressure comes because of a blitz. He's actually been really good against the blitz. So if you can rush with four and get it done, that's on Trey Flowers. I'd say Trey Flowers is the key to the game, but I expect the Steelers to win. So I also think that Gronkowski only getting a one-game suspension for a non-football play, while Juju Smith-Schuster got a one-game suspension for a football play, was all because of this game right here. So I welcome both of those guys back with open arms.
I think
one of them should have been suspended, but the other not.
I don't know about you. I don't read too much into the Patriots game against Miami on Monday, except the one thing I'd be monitoring if I was a Patriots fan would be Brady's getting hit a lot.
Yeah.
He's been getting hit a lot over the last 3 weeks or so, and I'm guessing he's not at 100%. So that's something I'd be wary of.
His Achilles is messed up, and yeah, the offensive line has been letting him down. And it also, like, Brady gets hit more when he has fewer options to throw to. So I think, you know, obviously Gronkowski was only out for 1 week, but it's a combination of a lot of factors, and Gronk was a big one this last week.
Patriots have lost 7 games in the last 2 years in the regular season. They are 5-2 bouncing back off losses.
You know what Gronkowski is? He's turnovers in the respect that before every single NFL game, you could say turnovers are the difference in this game, because turnovers are like one of the biggest factors.
The biggest
Gronkowski
one.
Is the same way. You almost don't talk about how big a loss it was to not have Gronkowski versus the Dolphins, because it's too simple and easy. Like, it's that big a deal, and yet you don't talk about it because that's all there is to say. Like, hey, look, Gronkowski's really awesome and Brady's better with him in there.